and good singing. Thank you, Ray Well, for that special. What a blessing that was. Let's take our Bibles this morning on this Mother's Day. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 3. Honor thy mother is the title of the message. Now, before I get to that, I just got a note from Brother David Crossman, and he says, those who want to be involved or help out in the Sask Pen Escort Minute, that's bringing people to the church and involved in the work there, the ministry there, there's training this Tuesday. So that is always a challenge. We've got people who are coming, more people all the time that want to come from the penitentiary and come and get involved in our ministry here. But we have to have trained people. The Penn's policy is. So anybody that could do that, that would help us, would be greatly appreciated. Right now we have me, David Crossman, Duncan White, and I don't know if we have, is there one more? Huh? Ray Uel Abaka, and that's it. That doesn't mean you're going to be every Sunday, but it means you're approved and you can be called upon when we're stuck. Like this week, Duncan's gone, and so we had to have somebody else fill in there. If we just had more people, it would just lighten the load. Anyway, let's take our Bibles, turn to chapter 15, verse 3. Chapter 15, verse 3. By the way, I really like that ministry at the Pen. I think that's a great program that they have there of letting guys connect with a local church while on the tail end of their sentences, and so that they can just connect with what life around a church is all about. It makes a big difference, and it can make a big difference. So I like it, I'm for it, and I want to do everything I can as a church to do our part there. One more little thing before we get reading here. We had a lady come Wednesday night to our service on Wednesday night. Do you know why she came? She got one of the Sound the Trumpet magazines that somebody dropped off at her door. And she came, loved the service Wednesday night. She works at a hotel here in town. But I really think it was a divine appointment. Maybe all of that work was for her. Pray for Ramona. I think she'll be here tonight. And oh, by the way, I won't be here tonight. I'm going to be at the penitentiary tonight doing a baptism. Doing several baptisms there tonight for men who have gotten saved in the penitentiary on right inside the wall. So I'll be gone tonight, but we're going to have tonight Doctrine of the Bible. It'll be here, the second series of that. If there's any way you can come and take that in, you say, well, the Bible, I don't need to know about that. There's rich, rich material that very few Christians know about the doctrine of the Bible, that today we have lost what the Bible is really all of, what is behind it. So it's our faith Bible. Dr. John Yates is teaching it, 6 o'clock here tonight. Now, some of you FBI students, this will be repeat stuff, but it's good repeat. So you can come and see that tonight at 6 o'clock, and I'll be back. I'll get back here as soon as I can after the service there. But pray for me. It's a great opportunity. I'll tell you, when a guy gets baptized in the penitentiary, that's a big deal. It's really marking yourself, and it'll carry a great testimony out there. So that's as a result of some of your ministry, Brother Crossman, and some of you guys there that are week after week serving there. So let's rejoice in that we're going to see baptisms there in the Pen tonight. God's doing good things out there. Matthew 15, verse 3. 15 and verse 3, ending at verse 9. Reading responsively, that means I read a verse and you respond. Verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Verse 4 together. For God commanded, saying, honor thy mother, father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. Verse 6. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandments of God of none effect by your traditions. Ye hypocrites, Well did Isaiah prophet of you say, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And the text verse tonight is verse 4, today is verse 4. Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. And Jesus speaking here, those of you who had red printing in your Bible, you can see this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes, and he's teaching them something. They had gotten steeped in their traditions, and their traditions had really made the Bible, the truth of God's word, of none effect. And I think we're going to get some interesting little tidbits here from this. And the idea of the day is honor thy mother. Honor. We are losing that in our society today. And of course, Mother's Day, of course, we have in there father and mother. Honor thy father and mother. But we're going to focus on mom today. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and your truth and your Holy Spirit, your church, and the Bible. Lord, bless our day, the morning service tonight. May every word that is shared be able to edify and build and teach and instruct us in truth. Edify and build your church, your kingdom cause here in Prince Albert. We pray, help everything that's done. I pray for those men getting baptized at the pen tonight. Lord, I pray that their testimony will be rock solid. I pray that they will be able to, their testimony of getting saved will send a message throughout the penitentiary so that others trapped in their life of sin will find truth and freedom. We pray, please bless, and we're asking for that all to glorify you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And many had come here to hear Jesus. Now, honestly, the Jews, the Pharisees here in chapter 15 and verse 1, were not coming really to hear Jesus as much as they were to trap him and to criticize him. That's often what was happening. They were thinking of ways because they saw him as a threat. There were so many people coming and listening to his truth, his words, that the scribes, who were the leaders, Pharisees, religious temple leaders of that day, and all of Judaism focused around the temple. So there was a perceived threat with so many people, of the common people, responding to Jesus more than they were responding to them, the temple leaders. So they would try to catch him, trap him in his words. And that's what we see in another situation here. It's very interesting here that Jesus responds to them as they see. Now let's get the context here and understanding verse 1 and 2 of chapter 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? That was their hang-up. I want to warn you, everybody, sometimes our traditions hinder us instead of help us. We have to be sure that our traditions are accomplishing what the New Testament spirit of what Christ came and did and died for, that we're doing it, that we're accomplishing the go forward, the kingdom of God cause. People are getting, we're reaching people, meeting the needs of people. The other tradition that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were greatly hung up on was the Sabbath. And when Jesus healed people on the Sabbath day, they got so upset. Why are you healing on the Sabbath day? Of course, it was just another verification that Jesus was God. That's why he did it on the Sabbath day. He made the Sabbath for man. He was God. And the reason he did that was to poke them a little bit and get them thinking about it. But he did that two or three times on the Sabbath. Ate corn on the Sabbath. Had his disciples eat corn. What are they doing eating on the Sabbath? And in healing people. He'd do it on the Sabbath day just to poke them a little bit in their traditions, and they would get stirred up thinking about it. By the way, folks, in order for you to get thinking, you have to be stirred up. Somewhere along the journey of life, something's going to poke you a little bit. Somewhere, truth is going to poke you, and you're going to be stirred up inside, and that's what gets you thinking. Am I right? Is this right? Is that wrong? Is what we're doing here right? Is it really? God is going to bring situations in your life and path and journey, not just when you get saved, but even afterwards, that is going to stir you to think as God leads you along on his life. Well, that's what he was doing here. Again, he responds to them. They're attacking him. Your disciples are not washing their hands before they eat. Now, it's a good idea to wash your hands, but what he's doing here, he's saying they had made a big deal out of this. Like, if you did not wash as the elders had laid out in a certain way, it was like serious violation of traditional law, not biblical law. The biblical law had washings too, but they had added to it. They had added more things than what were in the Bible to it, and that's what happens often. Man likes to do that in our traditions. I want to give you an example. I just thought of this here. Baptism. Bible teaches baptism, and it is very important. We're doing it tonight at the penitentiary, the Bible way of baptism. A person gets saved, makes a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Then the next thing they see after receiving Christ, the Bible teaches that we are to be baptized to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. Now, that's the key word of a Bible believer's baptism, is identification, identifying with Jesus Christ and with his church, with the New Testament method of baptism. Okay, so that's what's happening tonight at the pen. There's several guys out there that have gone through Rock of Ages curriculum, and they're another curriculum, and they're convinced, and they know, they can see, I need to get baptized. They asked me a few weeks ago, can we get baptized? I asked the chaplain. I said, chaplain, these men want to get baptized. Can we do that? And so he's looked into it, and they've gotten approval and permission to set up a tank up there, and we're going to have a real baptism in the penitentiary. And unfortunately, I wished it would have been on a other time than tonight. I'd love to be here, but I'm going to go and do this. But they were led to that, okay? But what we've done as churches, we have added to that tradition. Many churches, they've manipulated that tradition of baptism, and they've changed it a little here, a little there, and then one church started baptizing infants. I'm meeting with somebody this Friday night who just moved here from another country, and they phoned me, and they said, we would like to have our child baptized. Do you do that? I said, we do baptism, but not children. We dedicate children. If you have a baby and you'd like to dedicate that baby to the Lord, I have no problem having a dedication. But we do not do baptism of children in the service because the Bible doesn't teach it. That's why. But many churches have adopted that. And nobody questions it until they're poked and stirred up to think, is this right? Is it wrong? Why do we baptize children? It's a tradition that has been changed. It's been changed. It's not in the Bible. And so I'm going to pray for me as I meet with this couple, and I will take them scripture after scripture after scripture and show them the very clear, plain, simple teaching of the Bible. But traditions, church traditions, have changed it. And I want to tell you, baptism is a big deal. Just like these scribes and Pharisees, when Jesus poked at those traditions, it really angered them. And so does it today. If you start poking at that baptism issue, and people are just doing it because their mom and dad did it, their grandpa did it, their grandma did it, their uncles and aunts did it, and they're going to do it too. never really examining whether what they're doing is in the scriptures. That's why our church, everything we do should be based on scriptural authority. That's what makes a Christian, a New Testament church, a New Testament church, is we base what we do on Bible authority. That means if the Bible says it, we're going to do it. Now, there's a lot of little vague things in the scriptures that aren't really black and white. You can do things, certain churches do things this way. They have a little different governance in the church. And they might do things a little different than we do it. And it's not really, really clear. Those aren't the issues. Those things that aren't really clear. But the things that are clear, we need to do everything we can to keep it, preserve this biblical authority in our church. That's what makes a Baptist church a Baptist church. It's supposed to be governed, and people are individual priesthood before God. We don't follow a pastor priesthood. It's not all around a man. It's about following the Word of God and making God's Word the authority in our life. Show me in the Word of God and I'll do it. And that's what really got me into the Baptist church, and what got me plugged into a Baptist church, is because the Bible was started to show me things, and I thought, you know, if the Bible says it, I'm going to do it. If the Bible says it, I'm going to do it. And now there's some things. I'm not saying you're in the perfect church. Don't ever think that. And I'm not a perfect pastor by any means. I am not. And so don't follow, I mean, in a way you have to follow me a little bit, but don't get hung up on, you know, and I don't want to have a ministry polarized around me. I can tell you that right now. I don't want to be this personality that everybody polarized around. I want you to be polarized around one person, Jesus Christ. That's who you want. I want you to be polarized around. Your heart, your love, your life, your family. And all I want to do as a pastor is help you with that. That's all I'm here. That's what I'm supposed to do before God, is just to help you. I want to help you and your family and your children. I want to help you reach the goals you're trying to reach. I want to help you raise your children for the glory of God. And we have a big challenge, you know, like today, like children, our precious children. Oh, this a highlight of my service, of our service here at church, is when those little children come down that aisle and come right across here. That's our church tomorrow, folks. Those children, those precious little children. And so I want to help you as mom and dad, mothers and fathers, to do that, to accomplish and achieve that. So these people are poking. They're saying, you're disciples, you're not following our tradition. You're not following the traditions of my mom and dad and elders. You're not doing washing like we're supposed to be doing. And Jesus spun it right around, and he says, you aren't either. And the one you're not doing is a lot more serious than washing hands. Now, there's nothing wrong with washing hands. It's a good idea. And it's a good idea, but when you make it a legal requirement for whatever, salvation, or, you know, it can be suggested, but that they had gone beyond what it was intended to be. Jesus spun it right around, and he pointed right back, and he says, listen, verse number 5:3, he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? He says, you're violating a much more serious tradition. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. He's going right back to the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 12, when the law of God was given. And it says in Exodus 20 and verse 12, when Moses came down unto the mount, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And he's saying here, Jesus is quoting it, every law of the Old Testament had a death penalty associated with it. Every law. And Jesus is giving these Pharisees and Sadducees, he says, you're making a big deal out of a little thing, and I'm telling you, you have a much more serious issue, and it's you do not honor your father and your mother. And you know what? Any culture, the Romans, the Greeks, the native culture in our country, when they honored their parents and their elders and their father and their mother, their society does a way better than when that breaks down. There's been societies, the Roman Empire, one of the things that made the Roman Empire the empire that it was is because the people were taught to respect their mom and their dad and their elders and their, it was a cultural thing. The Philippines. I'll tell you, the Philippines, they have a respect in their culture that we should send everybody from Canada over there for a year and let them live there and watch that and see that for a year to learn what respecting your elders and your father and your mother is really supposed to be. And one of the things that's kept the Philippines what it is, in spite of the poverty, is they have observed and honored that very important tradition. That tradition is in the Bible. That tradition. Now, traditions don't save us, but they sure do benefit us, good traditions. And he says, Jesus says to them, you're not honoring your father and mother. Now, I had to do a little thinking on the rest of these verses and a digging. And it's like everything, if you dig deep enough, you're going to find the answers. You look at the response here. But you say, whosoever shall say to you, verse 5, his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandments of God of none effect. What is he saying here? They had made a tradition in their day. And it was this. You'll read in the book of Mark the same portion. And it says the word Corban. Corban. And what Corban means is gift. And this is what they would do. They would say when they were supposed to, and in their culture, what they were supposed to do is provide for their mom and their dad, their parents. It was a provision, and it was an honor to provide for your parents. So the way it worked is the parents would provide for the children. The children would get their education and so forth. The parents would get older, and then the children would look after the parents. I think it's a great idea, okay? The children look after their parents after a while, and they would look after their room and board, their food, and they would provide a house for them. I want you guys in the sound booth to keep note of that, okay? So that when you get older and we can't do it anymore, you have somebody do it for you. That's what they were teaching. But this is what would happen in their tradition. They would say this. There was a thing in their law. They had said, if you say what I have, my money is a gift of God, it's a gift to God, then you were no longer under obligation to have to pay and provide that money for your mom and dad. And so it got them out, manipulated a way out so they could keep their money. Isn't that amazing? Today, selfishness is what it was. Selfishness. They had turned it, and Jesus spun this question, and he blasted them in a very loving, kind way, and he says, you're not honoring your father and mother. It's a lot more serious than not washing your hands. He says, you're not honoring your father and your mother, and this goes right back to the law. Deuteronomy 5:16, he says it again, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So it's the law. We're in the right now, Matthew, the book of Matthew 19:19, he says, honor thy mother and thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He gives that young man the higher law. The book of Mark, chapter 7, verse 10 says, for Moses said, honor thy mother, father, and thy mother. And whosoever curseth father or mother, let him die the death. It's a parallel to what we're reading right now. The book of Luke, chapter 18, and verse 20. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, you say, well, maybe that was just the Old Testament. You know, anybody that says, well, the law doesn't apply to us today. That was Old Testament. The law doesn't apply to us today. The law still applies. The principles of the law still apply today as much as they ever did. Jesus quoted them, taught them, and they are to be applied and taught in the New Testament. The only thing is that the law does not bring salvation. The law is good. It brings a lot of good. If we all, the whole Canada, lived by the New Testament law, we'd have a great Canada. It would be good, but it's not for salvation. It's the law brings blessings. It does. And Paul quoted it in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, in verse 2. He says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I want to bring a big issue today. I remember watching a television show several years ago when I was in Sandy Bay on a doctor trip, and there was a little documentary. I think it was on the news. I sometimes watch the news when I'm there at the clinic, catch up on the news, and they had a 100th birthday of a lady who was celebrating her 100th birthday, and I'll never forget this. And some of you have heard me share this before, but it really left an impression. This was a lady sharp. I mean, her mind was sharp. And they were interviewing her, and they're saying, so, 100th birthday. So what the anchor man asked her, he said, madam, what are the biggest changes that you've seen in your 100 years since you were a little girl? And I'll never forget her answer, her two things. She says, number one, she says, on Sunday, when I was growing up, there was not a store open anywhere. Everybody went to church. Everybody. And if you didn't go to church when you were on Sunday, it was a shame. That was Canada and the United States 100 years ago. Today you can't beg, drag, coax, push people to go to church, almost. This church was a 1906 church, a community with 4,000 people, and it was full. That's what's happened in Canada. But the second thing, this lady said, she says, the second thing that has changed so much in my 100 years is now I see young people, they have no respect for authority, for parents, and she says, it grieves me deeply. It is so true. Our world of growing disrespect. Disrespect means the word respect is respect. Disrespect means you don't do it. It's I don't regard respect. Disrespect. Disrespect is shown by words, silent treatment, tone of face, facial expressions, gestures and actions. Obviously, there are many ways to show disrespect. Disrespect is shown by what people do, like insulting others, and but what they fail to do, including being polite, courteous, and thoughtful. That's the opposite, polite, courteous, and thoughtful. Today's world is seriously deficient in respect for noble values, for people in general, and for honorable positions and offices of authority like parents, teachers, bosses, civic leaders, police, and ultimately God. Disrespect is seemingly everywhere. Disrespect is epidemic, partly because it's contagious. When you're hearing it, reading it, and seeing it all around you, it's difficult not to pick it up. And it's true, we're just immersed in this world of disrespect. Everybody, nobody respects authority. Nobody, it's just, and folks, the place where we'll turn that around is church, is God's house. It's learning the Word of God. That's how it'll turn around. And a society and a culture will not last that does not have this principle of respect nailed down. Much of entertainment, the TV, movies, it's all filled with rudeness, irreverence, and profanity. Wholesome humor is a good thing, and it can be a blessing, but so much of it is crass, disrespectful, belittling to others, insulting, and it's ridicule. And it feeds into the home, to our children, pick it up at school, and it's wrong, disrespect. Listen, verbal abuse is disrespect, often a precursor to violence and other forms of abuse. We frequently hear about bullying at schools. Why aren't kids being taught humility, respect, compassion, and kindness toward all people? And tragically, many young bullies grow up to be big bullies. That's what happens with bullies. And the whole thing is bullying is a big deal in schools and in our society, bullying. You hear it on the news, you hear it. And folks, it's because we have gotten away from these basic things, honor thy father and thy mother. That's where it starts. How a person dresses shows disrespect or disrespect. How you dress. Now, we're taught today to dress down, to dress where there's no regard. Our dress really, really projects an attitude of disrespect and rebellion. And folks, when you get to the house of God, you've got to, your attitude, it's God's house. You're coming in here, especially on Sunday. Make manifest in your life that you respect God and you love Him, and let your how you dress show that. What does the Bible say about this? Bible prophecy foretells that disrespect would be a characteristic of people in the end times. Paul wrote that they'll be a lovers of their own selves, blasphemer, disobedient to parents. They would be unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders, brutal, haughty. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, in the end times, perilous times shall come, and that's without natural affection. And that's where we're living today. But listen, in the church of God, in the house of God, listening to the Word of God, we can get that turned around and get those missing things back in place. And we can make our home again a place of respect and honor and blessing again. Isaiah wrote this, these people will be oppressed, everyone one of another, by his neighbor. The child will be disrespectful, insolent, disrespectful towards his elders. That is an indication that every time a society loses this honor thy father and mother, it's really digressing away from the basic principles in the Bible that underlie where we get respect. Disrespect abounds because of woeful ignorance of the Bible. And most people lack a healthy fear of God. That is what the root of it is. God made every human being in the image of God. Every home, every marriage has the potential of being a marriage that glorifies God and is what it ought to be as we learn these principles. Honor thy mother, honor thy father. Over and over we see it in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 14, Leviticus 19, 32. He warns in there in the law about applying the law. It says in Romans 12, 10, be affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, giving preference to one another. The Apostle Peter warns of despising authority in 2 Peter 2 and 10. It's taught this principle of honor and respect. We all can learn to have it and show it. And that's what Jesus is showing here. He tells them, you hypocrites, you did well. You followed these traditions, but you're missing it. You're drawing nigh with your mouth, but you're missing it with your heart. You're not doing what the Bible says, living and honoring. Honoring our mothers, that's what we're learning. Honoring, of course, father and mother go together, but and it goes hand in hand. But of course, it's Mother's Day, so I'm challenging you, let's honor mom today. Let's do something special for mom. Why should you honor your mother? Because God tells us to, number one. Number two, if you honor your mother, it will pay you big dividends. It will pay big dividends if you honor your mother and your father. Number three, your mother needs it. Your mother needs honor and respect. Your mother has a big job. She's the manager of a home. She has a big load, looking after children, mothering, looking, loving, caring, managing a home. Like my wife and I were talking last night, a mother is a manager. She manages. Her day is consumed with managing time, resources, children, meals, needs, and all of these things. She's a full-time worker that has a big load on her shoulder. Your mother needs to be honored and respected. Honoring your mother and husbands honoring your wife is the example your children need to see. It needs to be seen. A lot of breakdowns in homes and a lot of issues in our homes are because husbands don't love their wives and are not taught to honor your mother. Our society has violated this principle. How do we honor our mothers? Number one, these are just a few ideas. Number one, praise your mother. And if there's ever a day to do it, it's today. Praise her. Say thank you for the mother that you are. Make sure you praise her. Now, not just on Mother's Day, but praise your mother. Thank your mother for the work that she does. That's what honor is. It's recognizing her. Number two, pray for your mother. Pray for your mother. And treat her special. Number three, I'll get an amen from all the mothers. Help your mothers. Help them. That's when the dish pan is full. Go and do the dishes. When that extra cleaning, don't say, how come the house isn't clean? Help her. Help her. Help your mothers. Mothers? My wife and I have talked, about, it really, wives are expected. Well, they're just expected to do this. They're just expected to do that. No. We are expected to all work as a team, and in honoring your mother, if you will help her, it will make a big difference in your home, helping your mother. And then number four, remember our mothers. Don't forget them. Don't take your mothers for granted. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfaithful faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. You know what, Timothy? He had a grandmother and a mother who loved God, and his grandmother and his mother are what passed on that faith to them that made Timothy the man of God that he was. Thank God for mothers who have faith. Honor your mother. I want to say there's a lot of amazing quotes here that I have, and I'm not going to read them all because our time is gone. And this is what Abraham Lincoln, the greatest president probably the United States ever have, He says, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Billy Sunday says, I don't believe there are devils enough in hell to pull a boy out of the arms of a godly mother. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher of England, if you do get lost, some of you will have to wade through your mother's tears and leap over your father's prayers and your minister's entreaties. You will have to force a passage through the warnings of godly people and the example of godly relatives. Why this effort to destroy your own souls? He's saying mothers and fathers have a big part. Dwight L. Moody, a great evangelist, said this: the impression that a praying mother leaves upon her children is lifelong etched in their soul. Perhaps you are dead and gone before your prayers are answered. George Washington, the greatest president, the first president, Abraham Lincoln was one of the greatest. George Washington was the first president of the United States. Listen to what he says. My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. Now, these aren't, you say, were those Bible-believing men, those old-timers? They were. That's what made Canada and the United States. You know why Canada and the United States are the prospering, great nations? And they're all over the world. You could go back to the roots of any nation that prospered and did well. England, America, South Africa. Those countries had in them God-fearing men, families, and preachers that preached the Bible, and leaders that led the country that believed in God. And it made a big difference. I have great hopes for the Philippines right now. I do. I think the Philippines is poised, if God does not intervene in some way but I think the Philippines, because there's so much Bible being preached there, I think, and there's great people in that country, I think God is going to do something amazing in the Philippines in years to come. And it's all based on doing what God says. Your home is going to be the success of your home, dad, mother, is the priorities that you make in your home and the principles you apply day after day after day, that your boys and your girls see and they say, Mom and Dad left me an example. That's what it's all about. Honor thy mother. Honor thy father. Let's do that. Let's make us a church. Let's build. Let's work at that. Let's make our homes glowing lights of God-honoring principles. Honor thy father and mother. What does the rest of the verse say? That it may be well with thee. You may live long on the earth. There's great blessings that come because of it. Let's rebuild what we've lost on these great, timeless principles written, etched on the tablets of law that we'll be using for all the millennial kingdom and into eternity. They will be used again and proven that they work. We can see in history they work. They worked in Britain, but we've lost. They're losing it. They worked in America. We're losing it. We worked in Canada. We're losing it. Worked in South Africa, we're losing it. But we've got to, there's always a way back. It's humbling ourselves, recognizing our mistake, putting God first, and just getting it and getting on track. Mothers, let's make mothers special, not just today, on into the future. Honor thy mother. Let's show respect. Let's get respect back in our home, in our hearts, in our families, and show it the way God wants us to do. Let's pray.